feel no pressure from me, but they have started the time, so I'll probably just start talking. Especially because I don't actually know how long this will take. I had to reorient some of this yesterday because I tried to enhance my demo and I broke it. So I really want to talk about something that's pretty abstract, but you can't really do that without a practical example. The title here is 8% sarcasm, maybe. The example that I want to talk about is like pulling apart Flaunt files and looking at what we can do to use them on modern systems, because formats change and go away, right? I've poked around with this with fonts off and on, very off and on, for a couple years. I'm clearly not the only one who has dove into it, but I want to relate to things that I think about based on that experience. Oddly enough, this is the topic that I first got attracted to because of arguments on the internet. Specifically, the users complaining about font format support going away. It's from when I used to be a reporter. People usually just express rage, and they don't get into detail about what it is that is not working for them. So you kind of have to dig around. And I always want to what is it they're not saying here? They just say this sucks. So don't read that. But if you don't believe that this happens, you can find examples. So it's a bug report. It grabs my attention because it happens again and again, but I really want to understand the intent, what it is that they're doing that upsets them or that's not happening. I kind of get it. It's been like a decade since FreeType and HarfBuzz and everything had the drop support for ancient formats. That has to be done because you can't practically have 15 separate code paths. But the fonts still exist, and they're going to be there, so you need to know how to cope with that. Some part of the OS seems to understand them, like there's previews showing up there. This is Nautilus. I didn't make that. And then, actually, it sort of looks like it's going to work. Like, you can open it in the font app, and you see something, and it looks good. Well, I mean, to varying degrees. But you can't install it. So this sort of works, doesn't really work thing. I'm sure that upsets people. Now, I understand what's happening, because I know, like, the stuff that really needs to happen is in the contents of the files, but is not the glyphs. It's the rest of the stack that needs things for loading and matching and stuff. And I'm sure that's not clear to users. So open question, what do you think? Does anybody have a use case they think is why somebody, an individual, might want to use some old font format? Yes?
Sometimes microcontroller development.
Good one. Microcontroller development, yeah, absolutely. And being a sociopath does not count as a reason. There's always, that's going to happen, but let's look at a use case or two in isolation, and I'll get on to the real main event. PostScript Type 1 fonts, you can convert those into OpenType fonts, so if that's not working, people aren't doing that, that suggests to me that probably the converter tool is not very good. It's pretty straightforward, and I guess like there are people who pay $100 to do that with proprietary software. I wouldn't spend $100 on that. But we still do want to know what it is they're trying to use the font file for. I have a couple of ideas. I think there are probably some people who bought a bunch of fonts back in the old days, and it either seems they're not clear how to convert a whole bunch of them at once, or it just seems daunting, and they don't want to do it. So a better converter might help. There's the point. But with 1,000 of them, that might not be addressed that way. Maybe you need the font manager to do it, or maybe it's really a search problem. I don't know. Searching for fonts is hard. On the other hand, maybe they have a bunch of documents they care about, right? They're getting hung up on that. This is a corner case, like digital forensics people. You know, did the last line of the contract get cut off? Okay, you don't want to just open that up in a newly downloaded LibreOffice. What you really need there, though, is like a virtual machine, right? Somewhere in between, if you think about like a realtor's office, they might have files from 20 years ago, and the best fix for them is probably in document management systems or something. The takeaway, the point for that is just that the individual use case may be doable, but those are things that are not doable in the font file. That's like other parts of the operating system that you deal with. So on to the main event, the bitmap fonts. I think this is the easier case, really, because I think the use cases are different. So the question again, why would someone be using bitmap fonts today? Well, for starters, there's the thing that we young people call vibes, which is to say the aesthetics of the designs. I mean, they're hackery and retro, lo-fi. That's got its appeal. People want to use that. Realtors, they can go pay for service, in my opinion, if they want to. But as a use case, I think I'm all for that. Like, finding a way to let those people do those designs. If they want to make retro tech things, I want them to do that on free software, if at all possible. And it's clearly popular. This is a site that collects old fonts from systems and platforms. There's dozens like it. It goes way back in different kinds of machines. This is desktop. This is before desktop computers. This is arcade game fonts. There's also some like cultural preservation stuff. Like, I still remember the old Mac fonts from the first computer we had when I was a kid, and I have a reaction to seeing those, right? Maybe not in San Francisco in particular, but people just put this stuff up on GitHub, right? And I don't know that I'm 1,000% convinced that they've done provenance, that they have the right to distribute that, but it's there, so people are going to find it. There are people who make new bitmappy-looking things. These are all on Google Fonts right now. So clearly there's a niche for doing those designs. There are also people creating new bitmap font projects on GitHub. I counted about 15. And the point here is that I think for this use case, accommodation is probably doable. It's probably doable by people who care about, like, you know, creative graphics apps. The other use case, which I unfortunately don't have a lot of time to get into because this one will take time, is what Simon said, which is like hardware displays, character-based, pixel-based displays. In fact, I have prop comedy here to go with that. If I can get it attached. I'm not really a hardware hacker on the design side. Really, I'm a user of it to a small extent. Well, that's not going to work. I'll just do it, plan B. Okay. These are really popular. They store fonts in, you know, memory, if you can call them fonts. You don't have a lot. It raises the question, what is the bare minimum for a font? I think I would say there's some shapes and there's something that connects them to language. And for those hardware devices, the old arcade game, it might just be the implicit order that they're in. You might not have anything else. But all those, like, the connective things is what you really need to get working on the text stack on analytic system today. So hardware device, you probably have basic Latin, maybe CJK, a subset of it, probably about it, Arabic. I doubt it. Devanagari, you're probably out of luck. And that's not a lot to go on. So augmenting that is really the name of the game. And what I wanted to poke at is how much augmenting and wrapping of the old data you can do without being a type designer and having to redesign it. Just pulling what's there forward to today. In recent years, I'm interested in working on things that affect a lot of people at once. So pulling something forward into a format that makes it usable without special, you know, effort is interesting to me. Anyway, quick aside into the formats themselves. There are exactly 1 trillion bitmap font formats. One zillion. Yeah, they added a note. Yeah. As far as the formats go, there's more than these. Really only one of them matters, and that's BDF. Maybe a couple others. Like the console, you do need that until BIOS goes away. There's a lot of pitfalls to be found if you're just looking for conversion tools for specific formats, particularly like FNT, that's the name of several formats. And a lot of older devices, like old Mac suitcase things, wasn't meant to be portable. That's the reason that BDF is useful. There are a lot of one-to-one utilities out there. Most of them are historical. Might still be installable, but it's largely because they are from an earlier generation trying to do this same thing. Just to get a feel in general, let's look at BDF. It's the most common, I suspect, because it was meant to be cross-platform. Adobe wasn't a system vendor, didn't have hardware. Basically, everything that you find in the file, which is by default text-based, can be mapped into an OpenType equivalent, except possibly the horizontal metrics. That's a little tricky sometimes. Every glyph has its own metrics and advanced width, sort of, you can compute from that. On the other hand, it's not all human readable. The bitmap is encoded as hex bytes. So it's almost a source format, if you think about it in a weird way. But whatever you do, the conversion, you're not going to lose any data. What varies is just whether you convert it all nicely. And if you want to poke around, you can actually open up BDF fonts in FontForge. This is actually a PCF font, I think. But what you see there in the editing tool is a pixel grid editor. There's not a lot of tools. That's why you can be sure that you're looking at a bitmap. So if we're going to take those original bitmaps from the old format and put them into a new device, what would we do? There's two ways to look at that: bitmaps themselves in the modern container, and then turn them into vectors. Just a format that the name was invented by the X.org people, X11 people, which is just taking the bitmap data table in the font, which is like early emoji, and just putting the stuff in there. Once upon a time, before scalable fonts took over X, that was meant to be the solution. This still works. This is not a hack of the format. The embedded bitmap data table is meant to be used this way. But it can still be tricky. I have found a few things that actually will generate an OTB. And by the way, the file name doesn't mean anything there. I mean, the extension doesn't. It's just an OpenType font. There's an old, the first one there is from the XFonts people. It's just a converter on the command line. Monobit is a lot more advanced. It's an ongoing, well-developed project. You can do a little bit of FontForge scripting, which is the third item there. Unfortunately, that's just a gist, but it's there and workable. And the last one there is interesting. That's from Frederick Brennan, who was a FontForge contributor for a long time. And it does something the others don't, which is try and do the bitmap thing and also give you a vector version. There's some general tooling to be aware of. There are two parsers, the first two there. BDFlib is more robust, I think, but if you're parsing and having trouble checking different parsers, nice. TTX option, font tools itself will round trip the tables it doesn't handle, so it's not strictly necessary, but it might be easier for you. Very briefly, looking at the X.org thing, it uses Unicode mapping. You can't really change that. And it creates a nearly empty glyph table. There's not a lot to that, but because it comes from the X.org people, it's worth knowing. Monobit will handle a whole bunch of formats, but it sort of is more opinionated about what it does. And then there's this one, which, as I said, puts the bitmaps into an EBDT table, but it also steps through that grid of pixels for each character and then draws a square contour pixel, either in glyph or in CFF format. And that's what that looks like in FontForge. You can see that's kind of wasteful as far as how many turns you're taking there and making those little squares. But you will see that it's a vector canvas. You have paths that you can work with. It installs. That's LED fixed. And that's it in LibreOffice, and you can actually use it in a document. So you're getting a workable TTF or OTF font there. Nothing looks out of place, right? Anything? Any punctuation? Yeah, so that's gonna come back later. Auto-replacing the straight quote with a curly quote is something that LibreOffice is doing. That's a bug. Like I said before, with this image, it'd be nice to not have to draw every pixel. And you could ask the script to create a TTB file, which is TrueType formatted and gives you a glyph table. And if you're using a glyph table, you could use reusable components. And you might wonder, why draw those squares? Why not just draw one and make it components? So I added that feature in a fork myself. And with that flag on, it draws one pixel glyph. And then for each thing that it processes in the input font, it just references those in a new TrueType glyph. I cleaned up a bunch of other gotchas. I later on discovered that Frederick had written the script as a proof of concept, and it has some things it's not doing right. The PDFs are not getting the metrics right and things. So I don't recommend you use this. I think it needs to be rewritten in font tools itself, probably. For my test cases, I was just using the X.org fonts because they are certainly retro. You get a whole bunch of components and a composite glyph when you do that. But now you might ask, as long as you're using a component, why not do something else with it? And that's what I was working with next, which is like, okay, turn it into a circle. I'm sorry for you showing you a proprietary app there. You can make the circle into the pixel instead. If I can show you the movie now. shrinking the pixels or doing other things with them. I was kind of just going based off of what I saw people doing with those modern, originally in TrueType formatted, the new fonts. So pretty trivial. Again, I was trying to not do design work there. Okay. Right, exciting, I know. Those are variations that people use in other pixel fonts. That's the point there. The harder question is about what you do with an entire family. Each font in a bitmap world comes in a strike, which is the size in pixels. And that's something that bitmap formats have, but doesn't really map into OpenType's worldview. You can have multiple bitmaps in an OTB file, but it's kind of problematic because Harfbuzz and FreeType don't know what to do with the metrics, which is changing. The only tool I've found that actually merges several of them together is FontForge in GUI mode. I don't think it's exposed as scripting. But you might think it's the same as optical size, but it's really not. That's not 8-bit text, right? Optical size is not what the strike is the way we're using it today. It's a design feature. And besides, the optical size axis is meant to be applied automatically when rendering, not be usable, user controllable. And then again, there's the resolution. These are both 24 pixel designs. One is from the 75 DPI, one is from the 100 DPI. So the full experience of trying to have the whole family work this way is incorporating both of those. This is a bit of a toy example. So this is what I broke, which is that I had a subset of the glyphs working with all of these axes in them, and then I tried to do more. The goal was full variable font. You can kind of, even like the Bitstream Charter font was the test case there, which has 6 strikes and 2 resolutions, 75 and 100, which is 48 masters if you're also changing the shape of the pixel and the fill level of it. It's not meant to be interpolated strikes. You can't interpolate cleanly between them. So you're basically just swapping in alternates for every glyph at these marker points. And that's, in a sense, it's an abuse of the specification to just have stacks of axes and swap things. And it makes it very hard to get it right in a GUI font editor. But it has the benefit, I think, of working in the app interfaces that we have today rather than having dozens of standalone TTFs, which is not viable. Is it worth doing? I don't know. I think if you want OTBs for things, Monobit will do what you want. It's in theory useful, even for people who need bitmaps for their hardware devices. You're welcome at this point to test out that fork of bitmap font OTB for the tracing use case, if you have to. I think I probably just need to go back and finish doing it in font tools. FontForge Python scripting is not good in the real world because you can't install it through pip, so you can't use it in a virtual environment. And it's not generating BDFs correctly. I talked to the guy from BDF Lib, and I'm working around it in that fork of the script, but it might just need to be replaced. I'm not sure what form it should take, though. Should that be a build tool that people can use on a GitHub repos? BitFontMake? Should it be a Python package? Or does it need to be a drag and drop utility? The design space thing, it's pretty self-contained. You can kind of generate knowing what things are. The reason I think it needs to be turnkey is that it's, people don't really want the X fonts, basically. Like, what they want are the video game fonts. And so me testing it is interesting to see if it's possible to do it. But this is a full-on font project at this stage. So if you want to like not do design and have anybody just be able to drop something in there, there's a little more that needs to be done. How much of it can be turnkey? I think almost all of it's automatable. On the other hand, there is still some design happening there, not just with the pixel shape where I made choices for how that interpolates, but if you think about the strikes, that's not just one thing changing, right? Like the proportions and the weight is changing between the strikes too. So if I say this is an axis, I'm sort of adding some, I'm pre-making some design decisions for people there. And I don't know that that's the right thing to do. The thing is, I'm not really sure where fonts like that should live. I don't think they're a great fit for Google Fonts, mainly because of the interpolation not working. Character set coverage isn't there. Not just punctuation, but real language support. Naming and licensing is hard. So I don't know that there's a great place to put OTBs at all. But I mean, I think there needs to be a path forward. The problem with the old designs is not that they're mistakes, they just had different constraints. And we know, like, we have more room to put things in. Now, best solution, I don't think I have it. As for the blinky hardware bits, I have no idea. In the IDE for hardware devices, I have not found anybody who really has. People reinvent that wheel themselves, basically. But there's always going to be somebody using bitmap fonts in some new thing. This is a really expensive, you know, eyeglasses heads-up display thing. It's bitmaps because they have processing power for other things. So that will always be true. So someone will be using bitmap fonts next year. I don't know who. Anyway, that's it. Thank you.